another day that we have not seen before. Glory is so grateful for life, health, and strength. We thank you, Lord, that we woke up this morning, Lord. We woke up to the dawn of another day. The activity of our lives, the articulation of speech. Lord, we thank you for mind to say yes to your way and yes to your will. Lord, for bringing us once again together where we can worship you. Follows. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit. Amen. We here have Paul's protective charge to the Colossians. What is the walk that protects us? So then, just as you receive Christ as Lord, continue to live in him. This means simply that our experience of the first coming to Christ ought to mirror how we walk in him all the days of our lives. The question I have for you this morning, you must ask yourself this question: what was our spiritual genesis like? How was it when we first learned? How was it when we first believed? What was it like? Was your faith fresh and new? When you first found Christ and you realized that he truly is the answer, when your attendance at church was impeccable, while horses couldn't keep you from the house of God, you know how you used to be, just like a sponge, you just wanted to soak everything in, you couldn't get enough of God. The more God you got, the more you wanted. The closer to God you got, the closer you wanted to become. Remember when you were first born again, when we received Jesus Christ and he became our Lord the first time. Receiving him means more than simply accepting him. The Bible tells us that the Colossians received the teaching and traditions that were handed down to them through Christ. They did not receive him as Jesus or just as Christ in the fullness. They received him as Christ, the anointed one, or the Messiah. They received him as the one who fulfilled all the messianic prophecies of the Old Testament. He was their divine prophet, their priest, and their king. They also received Jesus as a historical person rooted in humility through the incarnation. Jesus is Greek for the Hebrew name Joshua, which means the Lord is our salvation. So they received him as a captain of salvation, and so rejected salvation in any other name. Any other name can't receive salvation. You can't come no other way but only by the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible said that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They received him as Lord. Lord gathers up all that Paul had previously said about Christ in Colossians. It is a dynamic and a very comprehensive title. When we think of his lordship in our lives, it encompasses every aspect of our being. Everywhere we go, everything that we do, everything that we talk about is encompassed under the heading of Jesus our Lord. And we represent him in high places wherever we happen to be. Wherever our journey takes us, we are ambassadors. That's why we call him Lord and Savior. When the Colossians received him, they received him in the full knowledge of his teaching. And they bowed before him as their sovereign Lord. Mm-hmm. Billy Graham once says in the Annals of America, no man can be said to be truly converted to Christ who has not bent his will to Christ. He may give intellectual assist and assent to the claims of Christ and may have the emotional religious experience. However, he is not truly converted until he has surrendered his will to Christ as Lord, Savior, and Master. What does this mean? This means that when Christ becomes Lord, Savior, and Lord, this means that we yield to his will. We say yes to your will and yes to your word. It does not mean that I reduce him down to my level and worship the reduction. God is bigger than me. His will is much bigger than mine. My desire may not be matched up or in line with his. Therefore, I succumb under the lordship, under the authority of his word, so that I walk like him, I talk like him, and when I open up my mouth, I sound like Jesus. When I walk the streets, not only do I sound like Jesus, I talk like Jesus, I look like Jesus. Why? Because I have come under the submission of the lordship of Jesus in my life. I don't take it off when I leave the church and put it back on when I come to church. I don't take it off when I get onto the job site and then put it back on when I leave. I'm not a chameleon. I'm not one of those things that change colors. I'm the same all the time. Why? Because my life has come under the submission of the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, granted, there are some things that we struggle with in the world. There are some areas in our lives that we yet need to be delivered from. We don't discount those things. We don't scratch those things out as non-negotiable. We don't ignore those things or say, no, that's for Mary. No, that's for Joe. Yes, that's for you. The word of God is like taking medicine. See, when we came to Jesus Christ, we came sick. We came broken. We came in need of some answers. We came needing some fixing up. We came to Jesus just like we were, all broken down, all beat up, all down and out. And we were in need of not just a salvation, we were in need of fixing. Some of us needed a heart transplant. God took out the stony heart and replaced it with a heart of flesh. God has now given us a conscience and he's given us a will that life under the lordship of His Word.
Yes.
I now look at the Word of God as an instrument of change, as an instrument of transformation. I look at the Word of God as the very vital necessity I need to ground my life.
Yes.
So that I can walk right.
Yes.
I no longer walk with a limp. Again, when we come to Jesus, we came to Him as we were.
Yes.
Because He said, whosoever shall, He the name of the world, whosoever shall come, let him come.
Yes.
You can't fix yourself up.
Right.
You can't spruce yourself up.
Right.
You can't straighten up yourself. You can't stop drinking and drinking and doing whatever you were doing when you came to Christ. You could not break those habits of your own and on your own.
Amen.
So our souls were damaged.
Yes.
And we were scarred. And we have been instruments of scarring of others.
Yes.
We needed some deliverance.
Yes.
And we needed Jesus to come in and change us.
Yes.
And so what He does is give us His Word. And
yes.
The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 and 12, for the Word of God is quick and active and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and marrow, and is a discerner of the intent of the heart. In other words, the Word the two-edged sword. What it does is it makes a division between your soul and spirit.
Yes.
It helps you to be able to discern your will from God's will.
Yes.
My soul tells me certain things, but the spirit said, no, no, no. And that's why some of us are confused. Because we look and read the Word of God instead of allowing the spirit to minister to the soul and heal the soul so it redirects the body, we allow the soul to dictate to the spirit in submission.
Wow.
The spirit, so the spirit has no effect in our lives. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
See, before you came to Jesus, your spirit was dead in Christ.
Well,
why? Because the Bible says, for if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation.
Yes.
All things are passed away and all things become new.
Yes.
Therefore, when you came to Jesus, your spirit now soul, because your soul has a lifetime of scar.
All right.
A whole lifetime of sin.
Yes.
Being exposed to sin and being damaged and hurt and abused and used. And so that scarring has mounted up over your soul over many years.
All right.
You came to Jesus and got saved, and now your spirit, while it's there, is weak.
Ah.
And the only way you build that thing up is in the Word. And the only way you build your spirit up is allow the Word of God to take root and take heart so that your spirit is built up. Why? Because the Bible says, for without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The only way that you build faith is by the Word of God. When you build faith, you build your spirit. When you build your spirit by the Word of God, you intake the Spirit, impart the Spirit, the Word of God, and the Word of God strengthens you.
Yeah.
I want to warn you, though, that the Word of God does not always go down good.
Ah, come on.
Amen. Doesn't always taste good.
Amen.
Brother Benson, when you get it, like, sometimes the Word of God brings you under severe conviction.
Yeah.
You ever had the flu and went to the doctor? The doctor gave you a shot, gave you some prescription, and said, hey, go home and take some of this.
Yeah.
You go home and you take that medicine, and you get a lot worse before you get better. Sometimes you call the doctor and say, wait, what did you give me? Because I haven't gotten any better, I've gotten worse.
Yeah.
And the doctor said, stay right on that medicine, because sometimes that happens. You're going to get or feel a lot worse before you get better. That's what the Word of God does. When you take the Word of God in, you don't believe automatically you're going to get better. In fact, you're going to get a lot worse before you get better, because there's a lot of stuff in you that the Word of God is dealing with. There's a lot of hurt going on. There's some scarring. There's some deliverance that needs to take place on the inside. But if you allow the Word of God to marinate, seen in my life, my spirit now begins to strengthen. So when my flesh rises and my nature rises, my spirit is strong enough to dominate my soul, heal my soul, and redirect my body. So now I don't have to take one step forward and three steps back. I don't have to get saved every time there's an altar call. Why? Because the word of God in me is keeping me. The word of God in me is sustaining me. The word of God in me is healing me. The word of God in me is standing up in me. If I am weak in myself, I stand in the word. I don't stand in my own righteousness, I stand in the righteousness of Christ. I don't stand in my own testimony, I stand in the testimony of what he's done for me. And so the word has said, have you prayed?
Well,
I went to see somebody in the hospital a few weeks ago, down at Chestnut Hill Hospital, and the doctor came in and he introduced me. He said, yeah, this is my pastor, and you know, and he said, yes. Keep on praying, keep on praying.
Amen.
Because even doctors recognize that there's something to prayer.
Amen.
They may not understand it like we do, but they even know that prayer changes things. Prayer changes things because there's an expectation when you pray. When you pray the word of God, when you pray and expect God, there's an expectation. You don't pray saying, God, if you.
Well.
You pray, God, will you do it? You said, you're going on to something else. We oftentimes forget how faithful he has been, already been to us. We oftentimes forget how good he's already been to us. We always look at what he hasn't done, but we fail to realize what he's already done. And the fact that he hasn't done something you've already asked him for doesn't mean he hasn't done it. He just hasn't done it yet. Soul's pride. what you've asked me for?
Yes.
Sometimes the answer is just hold on and wait.
Yes.
You're growing, but you're not growing at a pace where you're really going to be able to handle what you've asked for.
Right.
But it's coming.
Amen.
Some of the things I prayed for years ago are still or are right now starting to come to pass.
Yes.
Sometimes we forget the things we've asked God for.
Yeah.
We forget the prayers that we've prayed.
Yeah.
And when God begins to answer these prayers years later, I thought it was no.
Amen.
It wasn't no, it was not yet.
Amen.
So when my soul is anchored in the Word,
yes.
Amen, I can receive Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, for who He is in the fullness of who He is.
Amen.
It's interesting to notice that the apostles preach the lordship of Christ. The word Savior occurs only twice in Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. On the other hand, it's amazing to notice the title Lord is mentioned 92 times. Lord Jesus, 13 times, and the Lord Jesus Christ, 6 times in the same book. He cannot be your Savior if He's not also your Lord.
Right.
He can't save something He can't maintain.
Right.
Why would He save you for you just to be lost?
Amen.
He saved you so you could stay saved.
Yeah.
And the only way you can stay saved is if He is not just your Savior but your Lord.
Right.
Therefore, I've come under the obedience, under the subjection of His lordship according to the Word. Thy word have I hid in thy heart that I won't sin against thee.
Yes, yes.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway.
Yes.
And so I may not have good enough sense the way the world says it, but I know better than walk outside the Word.
Amen.
Because I know that the Word is light in my pathway.
Yes.
It's a lamp wherever I go.
Yes.
The Word is now a hiding place. It's my security blanket.
Yes.
I find solace in the Word of God.
Yes.
I find comfort in the Word of God. That the Colossians had received Jesus Christ as Lord.
Yes.
And that they would remain safe, listen to this, from spiritual seduction or apostasy if they continue to walk in submission in Him or to Him. We too will resist the Gnosticizing influences around us if we walk in the reality of Christ Jesus, listen to this, as Lord.
Amen.
The reason a major cult and cults are is because they have defective doctrines of Christ. The Mormon, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, etc. say, like the Gnostics, that they believe in Christ, but what kind of Christ? What kind of Christ?
Uh-huh.
Certainly not the Christ of the Scriptures. This is also true of other forms of legalism and some of the extreme forms of prosperity gospel. You cannot name it and claim it.
Well,
it's not just bad doctrine. It's not even scriptural.
Well.
We'll get into that another time. Remember humility. Remember the gratitude. We're called to walk in the new birth realities. Paul makes this a present active imperative. Continue to live. Continue to live. Remember the walk. Remember the joy. Remember the humility. Remember the dependence, the reliance. Remember how good it was. Remember when you didn't have 2 nickels to rub together, but you had Jesus. Jesus was all the world to you. You didn't have a whole lot of stuff, but now you had Jesus, and Jesus held you together.
Thank you, Lord.
He brought you a mighty long way. You're not really where you want to be, but bless God, you ain't way back where you used to be.
Amen.
Because if He left you to your you would have been destroyed. Some of us know. Had we continued on a path that we were on, was no good coming out of that. But God, through his goodness, through his grace, and through his mercy, reached down. In the flesh, I'm with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. When the enemy comes in like a flood, he said, I will raise up a standard against you. Sometimes it feels like he's throwing everything at you, but the kitchen's sinking. When you look back, that's coming too. Stand. When you've done all the stand.
Thank you, Lord.
Stand in the righteousness of Jesus. Yes. Stand upon the foundation of the world.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
And I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll give you a testimony. Yes. Not only will he bring it out, he'll give you a testimony. He'll give you a real testimony.
Thank you, Lord.
Whatever he is bowed in your eyes closed. What we're talking about is a walk. We're talking about an earth walk. But before you can walk, you have to be born.
Yes.
You have to be born again.
Yes.
I want to extend an invitation. Perhaps there's somebody here this morning. You're looking for a new walk. You're looking for healing. You're looking for deliverance. You're looking for a new way of life. Jesus said, whosoever shall call upon my name shall be saved.
Thank you, Lord.
Who shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For the wages of sin is death, but the good gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. If you need Jesus this morning, I want you to slip up your hand. Slip up your hand while I get this Bible in your eyes closed. I see that hand. See that other, the other hands. He said, if you be ashamed to own me in this adulterous, sinful generation, I'll be ashamed to own you before my Father, which is in heaven. Don't tell me you're praying and asking God for something you expect him to go to his Father on your behalf, and you're afraid to own him. Tomorrow is not promised. The day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart, but give it over to Jesus. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He saved a wretch like me.
Thank you, Lord.
I want you to do something for me. I want you to make your way out of the aisle, break your way out of the seats. I want you to meet me down here. I want to pray for you. Come on, don't be afraid. Come on down. Let me pray for you. God loves you so much. He loves you so much that he would be the only one in need of salvation. He would have died for you alone. He loves you with an everlasting love. That means an eternal love. A love that won't die. A love that won't falter. A love that will never end. No matter what you do, you can't hurt him enough that he won't love you. I want you to repeat that.
be merciful unto me, a sinner. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me in the blood of Jesus. Wash me and cleanse me. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Save my soul. Save my soul. Lord, and I will live for you all the days of my appointed time. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints, stretch your arms this way, stretch your hands this way, and pray for these who come, Jesus. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for these saints, precious saints. They've come, Lord, to be your children. Lord, touch them with a crown of the soul of your feet, oh God, strengthen them on every hand, God, and they come to life, oh God, raise up a standard against them. In the name of Jesus, Lord, keep them, Lord, and allow us to come to earth in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
May I say it? Hallelujah. If you've been saved, you're saying you don't have a church home where your soul can be fed. We invite you to become part of this fellowship. The door of the church. You joined last time since last first Sunday. I want you to come down so that we can give you the right hand of fellowship. Come on down. Trust me, you're an officer. Hallelujah. Somehow, ministry.